B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Or to do what they were so porous against the pass, the teams really didn't try to stick to the run, nor did they face any good running backs before they faced Dalvin Cook or Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, it wasn't just the fact that you turned the football over early in the game, but you also gave them the football on the 45 and the 14.
Yeah.
That's like, not a recipe for success.
What's your defense going to do at that point? Like, I know people want to kill Jim Schwartz.
The best you can hope for is bend but don't break.
Yeah, you give up a field goal.
Yeah.
At best.
At best. Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation.
Or here's a novel idea. Force a turnover of your own.
Oh, no. My God.
Hey,
Mark.
Come on.
You did. Mills got a...
That was a really nice pick.
No, but I mean like earlier in the game.
When
things were spiraling out of control as it was.
I thought Mills actually played kind of decent
first game back. Well, look, it goes without saying he was your best corner, which is not bragging, I know. But yes, in his first game back, not playing in almost a year, I thought he played very well. There was one play in particular that made me go, what the hell are you doing, man? Hmm. And it was the play that Amari Cooper went up and got, where he didn't dive by any means, but unlike Aguilar, no pun intended, he extended for it, reached his hands out, and came down with a great catch.
Yeah,
and
down Jaylen the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jaylen Mills was right there and wasn't able to make the play. But he was stride for stride with him up until that last stride. Let's get to Stallworth. Stallworth, here on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Stallworth?
Yo, man, let me get right into this because I got a whole lot to say.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. This loss, as in my opinion, most of the losses this season, I'm putting squarely on Doug's shoulders. And what I mean by that is it didn't take Miss Cleo to know that the Cowboys were going to come out intense and ready to play. They lost three games in a row. They needed this game. We didn't look prepared at all. And it was mentioned earlier, there's no creativity in the offense at all. And I don't want to hear Mike Groh's name mentioned at all because this is Doug's offense. We all know it. Doug, he makes the calls. This is his offense. Where is the creativity? I don't see when you're facing a pass rush that is that intense, you got to slow the pass rush down by doing what? Maybe moving the pocket, maybe some naked bootlegs, maybe give the defensive line something to think about other than just rushing right at the quarterback and pinning their ears back. I didn't see any of that. One of the reasons why we don't do the screen pass well is because obviously we don't practice it. We used to be a great screen pass team when we had Big Red because they practiced. It was a staple of the offense. You can tell it's not a staple of the offense here because they don't know how to do it. They don't suck any linebackers and D linemen in with the screen pass and then get the ball out and then have the linemen going and blocking downfield. You never see it.
Yeah.
You don't see any naked bootlegs. You don't see when you have a pass rush like that, you got to help the quarterback out. You got to help him out by what? Moving the pocket a little bit. You got to get some misdirection. You got to give that D line something to think about so they can't just pin their ears back and go right at the quarterback.
Well, you know what else you don't have? You know what? You also don't have Brian Westbrook. And like Miles Sanders should be that guy, and I want to see him develop into that, but they need to work on that play. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that was one of the things they could rely on time and time again. They tried running a screen last night, and nobody got out the block.
And they don't do it often enough. And here's another thing that they could do. They could, like, Doug doesn't obviously take things from other teams that are successful.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the teams I want to mention is the Patriots, right? The Patriots don't have a burner, since everybody wants to talk about somebody that opens up the field, a receiver that goes down and opens up the field and is fast. The Patriots have never really had that. What they do is they use their running backs like another receiver, and they use their tight ends very well. We don't do either. So if you got a rookie who's halfway decent at catching a ball out the backfield, use him. Maybe have him line up like Westbrook used to, right alongside of the quarterback. Westbrook used to run right out to the flat and then jet right across the face of the quarterback. It was like a dart pass where he would just go, a dart route where he would just come right out to the flat and then run right back across Donovan, and it would be an easy pass. You don't see passes like that or patterns like that in his offense. Doug doesn't use the entire field. He doesn't use everything that could be available to him, and I'm tired of it, man.
No, we're all tired of it, man. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
You never see guys catching the ball on the run in the middle of the field in this team. Think about it. And it's just what Stallworth was talking about, where Westbrook used to come back across, catching the ball and then turning it up. The only time you see guys catching balls on the run is down the sidelines. Think about it. You never see guys coming across the middle, catching a ball for extra. It's all sit down in the middle of the field, or when they do go and try to hit a guy on the run, it's towards the sidelines. It's almost as if they don't trust somebody running and catching a ball through the middle of the field.
Well, Dallas Goddard's fumble was in the middle of the field.
Yeah, but I mean, it was still one a time. Catch.
No, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know, it's still a catch, a sit down, and then turn and go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's catching it on the run in stride.
Yeah.
You know, it's just baffling.
That little, like, drag route almost.
Yeah, you don't see it anymore. He just never, and he brings up the Patriots. Yeah, they do run those things. They do run those little plays where the running backs are coming across the middle, but they're catching it in stride. Or your slot guys. That's where Edelman and those guys have made such a career. They catch it in stride coming across. Eagles never do that.
No, they don't. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. And I mentioned Brian Westbrook just a second ago. Well, how about this? Come hang out and catch the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook tonight from 6 to 7 at PJ's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The Pro Show is presented by 19 Crimes, the Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. There's so much blame and frustration to go around
in
this game.
You can't even come close to pinpointing.
You really can't.
No.
But at some point, I think maybe because it was the lack of effort, maybe because it was the fumbles. I mean, at what point do we start looking more at Carson? And it's hard to do that.
Well, when the offense is a problem, I mean, it's fair to, everything's on the table, right?
Right. But what I'm saying is the bigger problem for this team is how bad the wide receivers are. Like Carson showed me last night on the touchdown pass to Dallas Goedert. He can put touch on a football.
It might be one of the worst receiving corps in the entire league.
But you're supposed to have Zach Ertz, who's supposed to be an all-pro.
Who?
Supposed to have Dallas Goedert.
Where's he been this
year?
Who's
supposed to be a promising young tight end.
Zach Ertz?
Alshon Jeffrey.
He had some yak last night.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He did. But what I'm saying is the receivers have been so just piss poor on this team. It's hard to look at Carson and go, ah, this is all your fault. Like a lot of times with a quarterback, you can do that. But because it is so bad and there's so much blame to go around in this offense, like the lack of creativity with play calling, like it's as much as easy it is to throw a quarterback under the bus. I think people in this town know football well enough to look mostly at these receivers and go, yeah, these guys are terrible.
It might be honestly one of the worst in the league.
But there's quarterbacks in this league who have done more with less.
Right, right.
And that's where you need to see a quarterback step up and make everybody else around him better somehow magically.
Look at Russell Wilson the past 5 years. I mean, Doug Baldwin was a good player, but that was the best he had.
Yes.
Yeah, and he seems to be in playoff contention every single year.
Mm-hmm. I find myself still having confidence in Carson Wentz, but last night with the blitz that he totally didn't see, with again, maybe holding the ball a little too long, but I understand he's trying to make plays. But that blitz, I can't get out of my head. How you didn't see that at all when a guy came sprinting from 15 yards out. Uh-huh. And Trey said it too. Maybe it's not all on him. Maybe it's on the offensive line too to say, you know, cowboy, you know, there could be a free guy coming. Whatever it may be, the great quarterbacks, they see that. There's a dump off right there to Zach Ertz, who was wide open, and that play's still going.
I still, even the Packers game, Carson played very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, what, 3 touchdown passes, and Jordan Howard had a great game. Like, I want to see that game where it's like, screw it, we got Carson. That's right. What elite quarterbacks are. That's what they do. All the mistakes be damned. We got Carson. And last night, everything went wrong. I don't think the reincarnation of, you know, Joe Montana is coming back to win that game last night. But I want to see one of those games where you just, screw it, we got Carson.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had one of those games yesterday because it was the early game, so he was able to watch the whole thing. And, you know, it was a 14-10 game, and the Raiders were going to go in. The Raiders made a mistake, Carr fumbles, and boom, Rodgers, touchdown, boom. Every time the Raiders had a sniff of trying to come back, he took it on his shoulders. And to further the point that you're making, Mark, look at the receivers he's throwing to. Mm-hmm. Davante Adams is out. They have guys that I've never heard of catching balls for them. An 85-year-old Jimmy Graham, tight end. Like, but he's making it happen because he's that good. Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, that was a home game or whatever, but that's what the great ones can do.
It's so far down the list, but when you score 15 points in 2 road games, like as your average, yeah, that's abysmal. You got to get something going. Most of that's on the receivers. Most of that's on play calling. But sooner or later, if you're going to look at Carson Wentz as an elite quarterback, that also has to come into effect. That also has to come into your decision on what you're exactly labeling Carson Wentz as right now. Let's get to Mike in Kenneth Square. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Nothing, man. I had to call out of work today, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I can't do it. I've been waiting too long on the phone, too. But, man, Trey, how long does it take for these guys to be numb to being, you know, they're getting paid millions of dollars, right, to play this game, and they look tired. They look out of shape. How is Fletcher Cox breathing for air in the first quarter? How do these guys look this bad? Like, I don't even know who to blame right now. Like, I'll just go straight up to Jeffrey Lurie. Like, whose fault could this be? It's not Carson's fault. It's not Alshon's fault. Alshon looks like he's depressed. Like, he's trying to do something, he just can't. I mean, what is Doug doing with these guys in practice, man? Like, what is going on?
Well, you know they're not practicing super hard. I mean, they're not getting...
practicing at all. I mean, what is going on? Like, how is it this bad? I would rather be the Miami Dolphins right now and just know our team's bad. Like, how do we go from thinking we're going to win a Super Bowl to, like, Carson's afraid to even drop back because, like, he looks like he just learned the playbook yesterday. Like, it's hard for him to even scan the field. He's not dropping back. He's not rolling out. He's not breaking free from the pocket because he's so scared he's going to miss a throw. They're not practicing, man. Like, what is going on? How is this happening? Whose fault is it? Give me one person, and then we got to torch him. We got to – if Aguilar is the guy that's talking about the team, then he needs to go. I'm down to let the whole team, the whole organization get it. Everybody can get it, and I want money for every shirt, every jersey, and every game that I've been to because they're breaking our hearts, man.
No, we don't disagree with you.
No, not at all.
And look, we talked earlier about did we overvalue this team. It is a different team than what we started the season with, right? We all looked at this team and said, oh, this should be a juggernaut of an offense with Deshaun and all that stuff. Now, I think some people in the last couple of years would look at Deshaun and say, well, he's going to miss a game or two throughout the season. But now you have a situation where he's going to miss like half the year, at least. And then when he does come back, he's going to be a shadow of what he actually is. Like, is that ultimate talent level? You lose Malik Jackson on the defensive line. You lose Tim Jernigan. I get the injuries. They were going to be this bad, though, without those guys?
Yeah.
They were going to be this bad offensively without Deshaun Jackson. They were going to be this bad defensively without Tim Jernigan and Malik Jackson. Like, I get that you were relying a lot on the interior defensive line to get that push in the middle and allow guys like Derek Barnett, who got a sack last night, and maybe even Brandon Graham, to get off the edge a little bit. But this is ridiculous.
I mean, that's a real issue when one player goes down and your entire offense just falls apart. There's no reason in the world Deshaun Jackson should have that big of an impact on this offense. The fact you don't have one guy and you didn't do anything the last 5 weeks and tried to trick yourself and convince yourself that Nelson Aguilar was going to fill that role is a joke.
You mean to tell me?
A joke.
So for the people that do want to just call out Carson left and right, and here's why he's not high on my list today. You want to tell Carson Wentz to go win with Alshon Jeffrey, who may or may not be calling him out to the media? You want Carson Wentz to go win with Nelson Aguilar, who won't lay out for a ball and can't track a professional wide receiver in the NFL making $9.5 million, can't track a football either? And you want him to go out there and win with Mac Hollins, who has already told you he'd rather be a special teamer? Like, that's why I can't look at Carson and just go, oh, well, you've averaged 15 points a game in your two road games right here, and you just finally got on the board in the first quarter. That's why I can't look at Carson and go, oh, yeah, dude, get your act together. Because of who they are surrounding him with to try to go win.
And put it on the other side of the ball, too. You're asking him to win a game when on the first touchdown run by the Cowboys, you have a guy that misses a tackle and then gives up on the play at the 6-yard line. A team that allows Jason Witten to catch 3 straight passes at the end of the first half and get out of bounds with absolutely no resistance whatsoever. And then they kick a 63-yard field goal to go up 27-7 at half. Like, how disheartening is that, that if you're Carson Wentz, you see what this defense is doing? I mean, you have Dak Prescott going up to the line of scrimmage, calling an audible. No, we're out of this, we're out of this. And Skandrick backs up, all the way to almost to the goal line. They run a little slant for Cobb, gets down to the 1, touchdown, next play. Like, what? I don't know what more this guy can do.
And
can
even when the defense does get a stop, the offense just goes 3 and out.
Like, well, that's how it goes. Run, run, run.
Well,
remember?
That's why it's everyone. It's unbelievable. Everyone on this organization right now is fair to question.
Let's get to Chris in Allentown. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Guys, I want to. You guys got to stop letting Jim Schwartz off the hook. I called you guys week two and told you this guy needs to be fired. Exactly what you just said there. Between the 10 men on the field, the last three football games, to 12 men on the freaking field, to the play call before the half. Let's just back up. Let's just give them 15 freaking yards. And like the punt, like when they were 3rd and 18. You know, let's back them up. Let's give them 7 yards, and then we kick them. We get the punt. We get a 40-yard return. We lost 52 yards in that itself. I am tired of Jim Schwartz. I'm tired of his defense. I'm tired of people sticking up for him because he has no talent. We say, oh, yeah, this is the best running defense. Well, there's a reason why we're the best run defense. It's because everybody's passing 600 yards against this gosh darn freaking secondary.
All right.
And it's because of the play calling, guys. I am so super frustrated with this. I am done. I am out for the season. I am so...
No, Chris, don't give up.
We are now second place in the division, and we are 6 games back in the wild card.
Yes.
We're out.
Yeah, well...
The season's over.
Yeah.
Matt Collins, fired. Chelsea Aguilar's fired. Go trade it. Alshon Jeffrey to Cincinnati for A.J. Green. Go get Emmanuel Sanders. Fire Jackson. Fire Grow. Just clean freaking house. This is horrible. You might as well wrap up the 19th season and just look forward to the draft already. Because this team will not win football games with the heart that they come out and play with. I have not seen a defense this bad since I've been an Eagles fan, since 83. I am tired of seeing this defense paraded. And people sticking up for Jim Schwartz every freaking week and saying, oh, this is what he's got to work with. He has no talent. Everybody's injured. I'm tired of you sticking up for him. This guy hasn't shown us that he can stop an offense in freaking 4 years.
Who sticks up for Jim Schwartz?
I don't think anybody
you were just talking about earlier.
I'm still not firing him. I mean, I don't think you're that far off in terms of like sticking up for the guy. Yeah, I'm gonna stick up for the guy a little bit. You won a Super Bowl with, and a guy who is depleted on the defensive side of things right now. Thanks for the call. Great passion, and I agree with a lot of what you said, except for firing Jim Schwartz.
Yeah,
the guy that I'm first out on is Mike Groh.
Yeah.
If anyone is out before Mike Groh, the Eagles are, guess what, doing something wrong.
I don't think anybody stands for Jim Schwartz anymore.
I'm not signing him to a long term. I'm not like giving him a 10-year extension.
Not, but it doesn't mean he's fired today.
But you gave them the football at the 45-yard line on the first series. Then you gave him the ball on, what, the 14?
Right.
And you want me to be screaming for Jim Schwartz's head in this game?
And then, I mean, he can only do so much. I mean, now he calls the defense. Now it's up to the players to go out there and execute. When you have Jason Witten just open 2 or 3 times going into halftime, whose man was that?
And getting out of bounds.
Whose man was that?
No idea.
I know there was one time where Malcolm Jenkins was supposed to be there, and then Jalen Mills, both he and Jalen Mills turned around and was like, what's the deal? And then you come right back the very next play, Jason Witten open again. But then he went to Jason Witten again for that third time, but Malcolm Jenkins was there to defend it a little bit better. So then now, so whose man was it then? Because he called the defense for these guys to go out there and execute. I think it's a lack of execution just by the players all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lack of creativity as far as offensive play calling. But then when you look on the defense side of the ball, I think it's more of a lack of execution. Guys that you're depending on to go out there and make plays that just aren't making plays.
Offensive side, you're saying?
Defensive side.
I agree. Because here's the thing. How creative can you be if you're getting one arm tied behind your back each step of the way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at sooner or later, you just have to default to, well, this might work.
I could see that.
There's no push.
Yeah, I could see that if they're getting beat because of their lack of talent. But when, you know, you have a misdirection for the umpteenth time in the first quarter, and you get blasted for a 23-yard touchdown run by Tavon Austin. It was 3rd and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys are constantly over-pursuing. And then when you have that wide-open pass to Jarwin, you have Al Michaels laughing, saying, I've never seen anyone that wide open. And there's confusion along the line when it's about to happen. Like, when these things continuously happen, too many men on the field, too little men on the field. I have to look at the defensive coordinator. I understand his hands are tied, but my God, I'd rather have somebody stand in there and get blasted with a block and lose out that way than nobody being there at all.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm 100% with you. We got another guy who's livid. This is Rob out in Minnesota. What's up, Rob?
Oh, man. Can you imagine what this was like last week, and now I got to deal with this?
Oh, my goodness. I am sorry, Rob.
So I got a couple issues. I just want to get them all. You guys can reply on them.
First of all, with the D-backs and the receivers, what is it, the coaching? We haven't had a wide receiver turn into anything that we drafted in years. I mean years, since Andy left. I'm talking the last receiver we had that was any good was DeSean Jackson or Jeremy Maclin. That was it. That was it. Our D-backs, you're going to tell me all six D-backs are bad? All six of them?
You know who was pretty good? You know who was actually pretty good with Carson Wentz was Jordan Matthews.
Yeah.
He'd be their best receiver right now.
And what did he turn into? Ronald Darby? What did he turn into?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just other than that, who is Howie drafted? What has he done? And I don't want to bash Howie this like this is early as morning, but what has he done since the Super Bowl year or before the Super Bowl year? I mean, what draft picks? What personnel has he put together?
Carson.
Yes, Carson.
Jay Giants.
At this point, I'm going to question that Super Bowl at this point. You know, I know
you're hang lightning in a bottle.
Did the parade happen, Rob? Did the parade happen?
It was real, Rob.
Did you come in from Minnesota? Rob, can I tell you something? You're in my prayers. I'm going to tell you, in Minnesota, you're in my prayers, my friend. God bless you. Good luck. I couldn't imagine after last week being an Eagles fan out there, and then all of a sudden after a Cowboys loss like this.
Yeah, because Zach Brown went out there and pissed Kirk Cousins off. Now everybody's in his crosshairs. You vike that?
Did you say you vike that?
Yeah, I guess so.
I get it. I see what you did there.
It hurts,
and
right?
And I'm not mad because it was creative. I like the Eagles play calling. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I think we have to ask Donovan McNabb if a receiver that he's ever played with said that he put the ball in the wrong position. Or the
I
ball
would
was,
say no.
If the ball was out of position. We'll get that. We'll also run through some calls in a few. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Don't forget about the Fanatic Fan-O-Lantern contest, by the way. Do you want to win a pair of 76ers tickets? Let's go 76ers. 10-9-8-76ers. You can also play knockout on the court with the hosts after the game. This is what you got to do. Celebrate Halloween with us by participating in our Fanatic Fan-O-Lantern contest. Go to our contest page on our website and submit a picture of your best Philly sports-related jack-o'-lantern with a chance to win. And all pictures must have you and the Fanatic logo in them. Winner will be announced on the Mike Missinelli Show on October 31st. That's Halloween itself. Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Good luck, everybody.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget, you can sit in with the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook tonight. You can come out to that from 6 to 7 p.m. at PJ's in Cherry Hill. The Pro Show presented by 19 Crimes and the Tile Shop and Rudder Roofing. Not too bad. Trey, we were a little late getting on Twitch today. By the way, Donovan McNabb joining us in just a couple of minutes. Go ahead and show your mug off to those people on Twitch.
Well, it has water in it right now, but yeah.
Yeah, sure, water. Winkety wink.
Big can of thunder.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
More mead for my friend. There we go, Zeus. Yeah.
My friend just bring me some mead.
Did you like design that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you who's not drinking from that, the Eagles.
Yeah, no.
Because they don't have the cojones like you do, my friend. Tim in Richmond, what's going on? What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we got you, brother.
I wanted to break a lot of stuff down real quick. Hopefully y'all hang up on me. We need to shake up in the locker room.
What do you want to do?
This is what I want to do. Trade Nelson Aguilar to either the Broncos for Chris Harris. Give him a third round pick and Aguilar for Chris Harris. Either you can trade him to.
Well, I could see a lot of teams wanting Nelson Aguilar on their team.
Just give him a couple of picks. Just let him. He got to go. Keep Mac Hollins. He like playing special team. We can use him.
Yeah.
As far as everything else, man, we got to go get Antonio Brown. I don't care what nobody say.
I'm out. Nope. No, thank you.
Look, I mean, it's his word against Eric. People out here want to get rich, you know what I'm saying? So this is why I wanted to talk to Trey. But there's plenty of people out here that want to get rich. They'll lie about a lot of
I'm
things.
Not going there today, Tim. I appreciate the call, man, but I don't appreciate the thoughts. 610-632-0975. And I love the idea of, hey, this guy sucks on our team. Anybody want him?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I don't think just that's going to be the way it goes down. Real quick, before Donovan joins us, Sam, who brings us Donovan McNabb?
Add more excitement to your football season by wagering, viewing, and cheering on your favorite teams from Atlantic City's largest sports book at the Wild Wild West, the Bally's. Visit Bally'sAC.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thank you very much, Sam Wilson. And now on the line with us on the Fanatic Comcast Business Hotline, please welcome Donovan McNabb. Donovan, good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody.
Yeah. Donovan, hey, look, I don't know if you're aware of this, but some people criticized you throughout your career. I don't know if you know that or not. But did you ever have a wide receiver say the ball was out of position when you threw a football in his direction?
Yeah. We all kind of hear that, I think, as quarterbacks when you think that a ball should have been caught or at least showed a little bit of effort. I've had that from multiple receivers, a lot of questions going on about their effort of not going for the ball or saying the ball get caught in the lights. But, you know, I just think it was a microcosm of everything that kind of transpired from, I want to say, the week before. I mean, and I know that, you know, it's a big rivalry and everyone gets excited about the Dallas Cowboys, but when you have two teams that are playing the way those teams have been playing and then the depleted secondary that we had. And I know Mills was coming back, but you're asking a whole lot for a guy that's coming off an injury to play against a Dallas Cowboy team and Amari Cooper, who are actually pretty good. And then, you know, we weren't being able to create any pass rush really with our front four because the guys are going in and out of the huddle. They were in and out of the tent, going into the locker room. And so offensively, you're asking a whole lot, especially when you start slow like we do. And I've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. If you start slow, you're going to play against teams that won't allow you to come back, and they're just going to put their foot on your throat. And that's exactly what happened. Luckily, that Dallas didn't score two or three times in the second half when they had opportunities because it really would have been ugly.
Well, Donovan, what did you just make of the team's effort overall last night?
I know a lot of people are questioning the effort of the players saying they quit on Doug or they quit on the team. I wouldn't say that. I just think they were outmatched. And anytime that you try to, you know, add a little bit more to it and it just seemed like Dallas had two more punches that just continued to sit our defense down and offensively, I thought the rookie played pretty well, against Quinn. You gotta give him credit and also you gotta help him out by chipping. You know, he was coming off, Robert Quinn was coming off that edge fast, but at least he held his own. But as far as offensive line and the whole offense concerned, I mean, it was putrid. I mean, really, to be honest with you, it was just awful.
What was the worst part about it, in your opinion?
There was no consistency. And remember, I talked about consistency and an identity of this offense, and that is right now the problem. I mean, when Jordan Howard comes in and he picks up four or five, he's averaging over 4.5 yards of a carry, and your passing game is not what it should be. Run the ball. And then, or run some screens, or run some three-step drops to get Zach Ertz the ball. Zach Ertz didn't catch the ball, I don't think, probably till like almost the second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then Alshon Jeffries can't run past anybody. So stop trying to have him go deep. Aguilar is not in the offense anymore ever since my man on the internet came out and said he caught more balls than, caught more babies than Aguilar caught balls. And then you're throwing it to Dallas Geifert to be your number one guy, and it's just we're not the New England Patriots and Hernandez and Gronkowski. So why are we going too much two tight end set?
Right. Well, let me ask this because that was supposed to be a high point of the season was having these tight ends and it just hasn't worked. But regarding Aguilar again, and joking aside, when you saw that play, did you think that was a bad throw or do you think it was a lack of effort by the wide receiver?
Well, I didn't think it was a bad throw. I didn't think it was a great throw. But as soon as he let it go, you know, you can tell by the way the receivers are running to the ball. You can tell that it may be a little bit out of reach. I would have just maybe liked to seen a little bit of effort out of Aguilar, yeah, too. At least, you know, just to dive for it or at least outreach and then maybe he stumbled at the end. It just looked like he threw his arms up and he was just like, no, I'm not going to get that.
Yeah, he pulled his hands back instead of trying to go get the ball. Now, there have been reports that you know, well, you had Lane come out after the game and said that.
That bothered me.
Yeah, well, after the game saying that there were going to be a call-out session because guys are coming in late to meetings and late to practice, and they're going to call guys to the table. What is your take on that?
Like, Trey, I know what you're thinking. And come on, why are we going through the media with that? Like, it just always seems like every time something goes south, there's, well, somebody said this that's going on, or somebody said, listen, if you're going to have a call-out session, have a call-out session. You ain't got to put that in the media about people coming in, missing meetings or getting to practice late. Now it's looking like a dysfunctional organization. But it looks like everything that we've done while we were there, like, there's no structure now with Doug. And Doug is the same guy that took you to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, and then also the next year have an opportunity to get back to the NFC Championship. So now all of a sudden, guys are not coming on time to meetings, and then come on, man, don't put that out there, because now there's going to be a firestorm, and then he got to sit there and answer that, because it's going to be a question of, well, who was late? Mm-hmm. Or who came to practice late? Or is Doug losing a team? No, or do you feel like the season's over? So now these are questions he's going to have to answer, and watch, he's going to start getting pissed off and fed up about.
Now, the problem with that is that doesn't just start happening like last week. That's something that's been going on for, and it's not rookies. Those are your perceived leaders that's showing up that way.
Well, Trey, you know the whole thing about it, too. Winning cures everything. Mm-hmm. But when you lose, old finger pointing starts. Mm-hmm. So to me, that just looks like he's pointing the finger at guys.
Yeah.
Because he's saying that basically they're not trustworthy. They're not buying into what they're doing, and that's part of the reason why they're losing. Well, I mean, if you turn on the film, that ain't got nothing to do with you about being late. Because I'm not seeing people, you know, with miscues. I'm just seeing people just getting outright done wrong. Like remember, we were talking about Douglas looking like in the first couple of games of the season. We were talking about him being an established corner, being tall, being able to go up against some of the top receivers. Man, he has been getting worked over the last couple of weeks. And they didn't even go into the game going after Douglas. It just so happened to work out that way.
Donovan, with the defense playing the way they are, and I'm not just talking about falling behind in games, but offensively, when you were there and looking at this offensive group now, how does the way the defense is playing affect the way the offense goes about their business?
I don't think that it affects it to the point where everyone wants to use it as an excuse. I think because, you know, Trey and I both know offense. If we got the ball, they got the ball in their hands in the beginning of the game and fumbled twice. I mean, you're giving them the ball on the other side of the 50 pretty much that they can run three, four plays, they get a first down to score. And so you already are down 14-0, and that had nothing to do with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the game continued on, offensively, there wasn't anything in the game. I can't really point out more than two series in the game that I said, okay, now we're starting to get rolling. Because it was always something. If it was a big play here, it was a holding. If it was a drop here, or if it was a sack here, or whatever it may be, it was no consistency on the offense where we felt like, okay, this is now going to change, because they were only down 14-0. And they've been down 14-0 in almost every game, it felt like, because they start so slow. If you start slow, you put yourself in a bad situation. That has nothing to do with defense.
Speaking with Donovan McNabb, Donovan, what does this team do from here on out? Is this something where leaders have to step up and rally the troops? Does Doug have to take more control? Do they get more creative offensively? What happens from this point out?
Well, I think first and foremost, and I'm not saying that while we were playing, we came out the gate just firing all cylinders. Hey, we had some tough starts as well. But this one, offensively, this is the time where you got to go back to the basics. You got to get back to the basics with a three-step drop, five-step drop. You know, you just run draws. You run, runs to the outside. You get Jordan Howard involved a little bit more. You run Sanders with screens. Let's get some quick hits, you know, maybe from Alshon Jeffries and then get Zach Ertz the ball. Because really, I bring up Zach Ertz, and I do have it on my fantasy football team. But why can't he get the ball early in the first couple series? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. They're not double-teaming your number one tight end because you're playing with two tight ends. They're not double-teaming. Give him the ball. Run a three-step out. You know, run him across the middle. You know, run him routes where you know you can possibly get Zach Ertz the ball. Because when you look at across the board at their wide receiver position, nothing excites you. Nothing at all excites you. Even with Alshon, a healthy Alshon Jeffries. People aren't clamoring over to try to stop Alshon. Mm-hmm. You know, and Aguilar's not even in an offense anymore. So I just think for this football team, get back to the basics offensively. And then defensively, it was always going to catch up to you when all you do is blitz. When all you do is blitz and a quarterback recognizes it and he's able to get into a play where he can get the ball out of his hands, it's going to burn you. And it did yet last night.
Tell me this now. Walk me through, because you remember the corners, the sack that came from the corner that was coming from the right side. I was talking to them about you recognizing safety, how the safeties need to rotate. And then also, too, you had the two linebackers that was right there. They only had three down linemen. You had two linebackers that were in the A and B gap. You had you had Sanders on the left-hand side, but they brought a corner blitz to the other side. Whose fault is that to recognize that?
Well, the quarterback has to see that. And I know which one you're talking about. You're talking about when 27 came off on the slide, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That right there, I seen that coming from watching the TV. But also, Carson has to see it. But then that's on the running back to come over from the backside to be able to block that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we call that a scan. You got to scan the protection for the running back. So if you get caught looking front side and all of a sudden backside, if they're coming with all they brought was one guy.
Yeah.
They brought they were the three-man rush, and they brought the one guy off the slot, which basically is just, you know, bringing the four-down lineman. But the back has to scan that. That's the back from the backers to that strong side safety all the way back to that weak side backer. And the back has to make that block.
Now, don't the receivers, isn't there some responsibility on the receivers once they recognize that, hey, this guy might come to notify the offensive line and also the quarterback?
Well, that's when the receiver points them out. And then hopefully that kind of eye contact happens with the quarterback and the receiver. Well, then you can throw that looky, throw that peek. So when he comes, you can just kind of now just throw it right over off his shoulder and then get a quick completion. But there was no recognition. And that's just how the way the game was going. It was like, now you're trying so hard mentally to get that positive play that you continue to just lose focus on what's in front of you, because you got to give it to Rob Marinelli. He was bringing it. And he didn't blitz that much. You know, he went with the two backers, remember, in the A and the B gap, and then they blitz off of the weak side after they did that before. But I give credit to Dallas. They played well. They outplayed us. And now it's time, really, I mean, it's a wake-up call for the Philadelphia Eagles, because you lose one more game, pretty much, I don't know, you might be packing up U-Hauls.
Now, one more question, man, because sticking with Carson right here. With the fumble snap, when you had Kelsey snap the ball to Carson, it seemed like his highs went up and did not pay attention to it. Is that because he doesn't feel comfortable behind these guys?
No, I won't say that. That was just a drop by Carson.
Uh-huh.
Carson had his eyes looking at the safety, recognizing the defense. Mm-hmm. And when the ball came, he looked at the ball, but then he tried to get his eyes back on the defense. And it was just a drop. He'll say to himself, that wasn't a bad snap. It was just a drop by the quarterback.
Yeah, it was right there in his hands.
Donovan,
that's our bad. That's our bad.
Because it happens every now and then.
Donovan, you hear your boy? You hear Trey? He's trying to cause drama now.
Trey trying to take it off of the offensive line. He's trying to put it on every other position. He's like, no, that's no. Who's that? That receiver? Is that the running back?
I'm like,
what about the tackle?
What about the tackle?
But for the tackle to do that, you need the center to make the call. But for it to be pointed out, you need the
receiver. You just put it on Jamal Jackson? You just put it on the center?
The center got to make the call. The tackle can't slide unless he's being told to slide.
That's cold-blooded.
you know what I'm saying?
Not the tackle listening to
us. Well, I tell you what they ended up doing was they did a full slide to the left, so they went laser on a three jet.
Yeah.
See, you know what I'm saying?
We know that terminology, but you got to break that down to the listeners.
Laser means left.
Yeah, laser is a full slide.
I got
slide.
That.
So laser is a five-man slide to the
right.
Left. They called a laser to a right side protection. You'd never do that. If anything, you slide right because you have the back there on the left-hand side to pick up anything that's coming off the edge. If anything, you call rocket. Mm. And then now the tackle has the widest guy.
Right.
But instead, they went laser.
I like your emotion right now, Trey. You look like you sound like you're a tad bit upset about about bad play. I mean, hey,
Donovan,
I mean, it trades. It's the whole thing. Are you feeling the energy in there?
Yeah, Donovan, I'm not kidding you. Trey put me through a coaching session before the show today. He was like showing me how Dillard needs to block certain plays. But I got two more things for you, Donovan, here. One of them is, and you played certainly in the first half of your career especially, with some wide receivers that struggled. I'll say that. Carson's right now playing with some wide receivers that are struggling. How do we evaluate a quarterback when the guys around him all seem to be struggling at the same time?
I mean, they found a way to evaluate me, didn't they? So you evaluate them the same way you evaluate everybody else. I mean, when you look across the board, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when you look across the board in the league, most teams have that number one wide receiver. But then, you know, it all depends on who's helping the rest. I mean, let's go to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has the number one wide receiver out. All of a sudden, he put up an historic day last
year.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett, all he has is T.Y. Hilton. But, I mean, he seems to be rocking over there in Indianapolis. No, same with, you know, same with Lamar Jackson. Same with, you know, I mean, Russell Wilson. So it doesn't matter who's out there. Obviously, they're good enough to play. You know, as a quarterback, you just have to put the ball in their hands, and if they can't catch, they can't catch you. But that's how you evaluate them, by watching a film and saying, hey, did he put him in position to be successful? How is this offense cooking with him out there? And then from a standpoint in the passing game, is he doing what he's supposed to be doing?
All right, Donovan, last thing for me, I just want you to play quarterback translator. And tell me what Carson Wentz is saying here. I'm going to play this cut for you. It's on the Aguilar play. And if you could quarterback, because you speak quarterback, I don't. What is Carson saying with this about the Nelson Aguilar play last night?
I thought we had a touchdown when I threw it. I didn't see the end result. I was on the ground, so I didn't get a chance to see. But you know, when I threw it, I thought we had a good one there. But I got to make a better throw, obviously, and hopefully get him in the end zone next time.
What's he saying there? What's he saying?
Make the damn play, man. Make the play, man.
All right. Appreciate
that was
that
almost
right
verbatim.
For my life.
Donovan, always great catching up with you. Thanks so much for helping us break this down. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, now, for all of y'all lined up right now on the Ben Franklin Bridge, you know, I always give it to you each week. Hey, somebody bring some popcorn or maybe some lemonade for them, because they're going to be there for a while.
God bless you, man. Thanks very much. Donovan McNabb, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, I'm going to get Dave in here real quick. He's been holding it Percocet. Dave, what's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, horrible night, huh, fellas?
Yes, it was, a little bit.
All right, look, I just want to make a quick point here. We're not talking enough about Doug Peterson. Frank Reich's out in Indianapolis right now. Jacoby Brissett has thrown more touchdowns in six games this year than he did through all of 2017.
Okay.
We had the same roster, not the same roster, but Aguilar was our number two in our Super Bowl season. Alshon was our number one. Haleapuluvaati Vaitai was our left tackle. Torrey Smith was our deep threat. And LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi were our running backs. And we put up the third most points in the league that season. I mean, we're averaging 3 points in the first quarter since the start of 2018. What about Frank Reich, man? This guy.
We've brought up that name. I mean, in all seriousness, we've brought up that name a lot, David. Thanks for the call. Everybody else say, I'm sure that
if I bring it up one more time, yeah, I think people are going to punch me.
We have banged that drum. But real quick, Sam, go ahead and give us a final on that Twitter poll, please.
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, did the Eagles quit last night? We had just under 2,200 votes. 91% said yes, they quit.
Oh my goodness! It only went up! That is amazing! All right, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to, a little bit earlier for you, we'll play some of the cuts from Donovan McNabb, including, you know, you got to judge a quarterback based on, overall production. Forget about who's around them. Need to judge a quarterback on that. And also how this offense just in general needs to get back to the basics. So we talk about screen plays all the time. We rarely see it. Let's jump into our takeaways of the day. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is Carson Wentz has post-game style. I don't care what anybody says.
That was a terrible suit. Terrible suit. Jerry Lynch.
Everything sucks. The sky's falling. Blah, blah, blah. Go Birds.
Jeez.
Bob Cooney.
Sorry, do you want me to sugarcoat it?
60 hours until the Sixers are 1-0.
Hell yeah! Shout out to Tori, who tweeted me last night, 69 hours till the
that
Sixers
was pretty
kick
good
off.
That's phenomenal work by her.
That got a retweet. I could not do that math without getting a brain freeze. Trey, take it away.
Man, you got Doug out there that's like, man, hey, man, we're going to go to Dallas, and we're going to go get this win.
All I want to know is, Who's coming
with me? One person.
Who's coming with me, man?
One person. I think that person's name is Carson.
Who's coming with me?
My takeaway of the day is that this Buffalo Bills game could very well be a make or break game for the season. For the season. And a lot of people will be judging Mike Groh, Jim Schwartz especially, off this performance in Buffalo coming up on Sunday. For the first time, I do believe that you really do have guys in hot water that are having their jobs based on what happens on Sunday. Heads will roll.
Ooh.
Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.